Begin the current Daf Masech, the Shabbos Daf Samach. We begin four lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the contradiction that was posed in the previous Daf. That is, there was a question from our Mishnah that seemed that a woman's ring is considered a takshon, an ornament for her, only if there's no signet, only if there's no seal. But if there's a chayisim, then it's not going to be considered a takshon at all, and should be chayv a korban chatas because it's not a takshon. Whereas we had a Mishnah in Kehilim that said that a takshon for a woman is even bein sheyesh la chayisim, bein shein la chayisim, whether it has a seal or not. So the first teretz the Gemara bring, which was on the previous daf, on the top of our Amud, the Gemara discussed that is, there's a machlekes between Reb Nechemya and the Chacham, that our Mishnah was going like Reb Nechemya that says, when you look at a ring, what is the focus, what's the main, is it the ring or is it the seal? And he said it's the main thing is the seal, and therefore since a seal is not considered something that a woman generally uses, is a manly thing, therefore it's not going to be considered a taksha at all. Whereas the Mishnah Kalim that said it is considered taksha for a woman was going like the Rabban, that they say that the main focus of a ring is not the seal, it's the ring, and that's why it's what is kaveya, what establishes if it's a makabel tuma, if that's metal in contrast to wood. Therefore, the same thing is also regarding the halacha of haitza, that we view the main focus as the ring, and therefore, since a ring is considered taksha for a woman, therefore it is considered taksha. That was the first test the Gemara brought. Now the Gemara will bring two different terutzim to say that, no, it's not a machlekes, but that's different. The Gemara begins. Rav Amar, Rav says that litzdadim ketanim, the Mishnah Kalim that said v'tabas havetachsha, that a ring is considered an ornament, whether it has a seal or whether it doesn't have a seal, was not going back on the beginning of the Mishnah when it said that these are the tachshitei nashim, these are the ornaments of a woman, and that it would be including both a ring that has a seal and doesn't have a seal. Rather, it's litzdadim, as our Gemara says, the Rabbah says, it's two separate cases. One is saying it's a considered tachshit of a man, and that's the one with the seal. And one's talking about that it's a takshet, it's an ornament for a woman, and that's the one without a seal, and that is, it's litzdadin, like it says. It's like to the side, it's going on two different cases. As Rav explains, yeshaleh chayisim takshet de'ish. When it says that either one is going to mekabel tumah because it's a takshet, is that it's not going back on when they were saying all the different takshitim, all the different jewelries, ornaments of a woman. Rather, here, the one with the seal is considered an ornament for a man, because that's something the man uses. He has a seal he uses. He sends out edicts and different things that he has to, it says people have to do, or letters. But if there is no seal, takshit isha, then it's an ornament for a woman. And that is, however, as our Mishnah said, that everybody agrees that if it has a seal, that's not considered takshit for a woman. That's Rav's answer, and if it's not a contradiction, the Mishnah in Kalim was not saying that a seal, the ring that has a seal, is considered ornament for a woman. Rather, that was already saying an ornament for a man. A third Teretz the Gemara brings is Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Tuma Shabbos Karamas. Are you contrasting the halachas of Tumah with the halachas of Shabbos? Our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, and it's saying that a ring with a seal is not considered a takshit for a woman, and therefore one would be chayv haitzah on Shabbos. Whereas regarding the Mishnah Kalim, that's talking about Taris, that's saying that a ring with a seal is considered an ornament, and therefore it's a kli, and therefore it's a mekabel tumah. So here, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, how can you compare Shabbos to Tumah? Tumah, but regarding the halachas of Tumah, it says in the Pasuk, Kli Maisa Am Rachmana. The Pasuk says there has to be a fashion vessel. But Klihu, a ring, even with a seal, is a Kli, it's a vessel. Shabbos, Mishum Masa Am Rachmana. Regarding the halachas of Shabbos, the Isser is carrying something that's a burden, that's a load. Ein Allah Chayisim Tachshid. If there is no seal, then it's an ornament. Yesh Allah Chayisim Masa, but if it has a seal, then it's a burden, that's something that is not considered a keli for the halachas of Shabbos that's intrinsic to the person, and therefore would be considered a masa. And therefore, how could you compare the halachas of Shabbos, where there it would be considered a masa, because that's not a takshid, whereas regarding the halachas of Tumah, the main idea is not regarding that as a takshid, that's a kli maisa, and therefore, since even though it has a seal, it's a kli maisa, therefore it's going to be a kabel tum. And that is, when the Mishnah in Kalim says, betabas, regarding a ring, whether it has a seal or not, similar to Rava, he says, not going back on the ratio when it was saying, what are the tachshitei nashim, what are the ornaments of a woman. Rather, what the Mishnah was saying was, is that a ring that we said that becomes tameh, that's whether it has a seal, that is not a tachshit, as our Mishnah over here in Shabbos is saying. However, it's still klei maisa, because it's still a vessel. And whether it, bein she'ein alachis, and whether it doesn't have a seal, that it's going to be considered a tachshit. And when it says over there, Tachshitei Nashim, was only going on the case of the ring that does not have the seal. But again, what the Mishnah Kalim is saying, that for the case of the ring that has a seal, that it is going to be Kabbal Tumah, is not because of Tachshit, it's because it's Kli Maisa, and therefore it's not a contradiction between our Mishnah, which was talking about has to be a Tachshit, and a ring with a seal for a woman is not considered a Tachshit, and that everybody agrees to, as the Teretz of Rav and Rav Nachman both saying, that a ring with a seal is not considered a Tachshit for a woman, and therefore the woman would be chayav a chatas if she went out with the ring with a seal. And now Mishnah is only talking about a ring without a seal. The Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Belibe machach ein nekuva." A woman is not allowed to go out in Rishus HaRam on Shabbos with a needle that doesn't have an eye, that's not pierced. Now the Gemara says, "Lamai chazia." What is it fit for as an ornament? Because we know why you would be not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. But the question is even more than that. You should be chayav achatas. Our Mishnah concluded that all these cases you're not chayav achatas because min haTorah they're mutzah because they're really ornaments to tachshitin and therefore it's intrinsic to the person. But we're concerned that you might come to take it of a chod to other people and carry it for amasus shabbos. So midrabbanu we said that's asa. But here, what is it fit for? How is it a tachshit an ornament in the first place? On that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef hoyel v'ishal egeres basayra. Since a woman collects her hair with that needle. That is, there are certain strands of hair, wisps of hair, that get out of the knot that she tied, that go under her turban or whatever she's using to cover her hair. So she wraps her hair around that needle, and then she sticks that needle into her hat, under, on the bottom of the hat, that her hair should not be seen. That's why this machat has a purpose. It is considered tachshit. But then the Gemara asks, I'm going to buy if that's what this case is, v'tav kibiris, let this needle be like a garter. And that is, there's a Mishnah later on, Samach Gimel Manaf, that says that this garter belt is tahar from becoming tameh, and one is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. This garter is a type of a band that is made by the thighs on top of the woman's stockings to make it tight, that the stockings shouldn't fall down to the bottom of her feet. So it says over there that tahar, as our Gemara says that they are tahar because they're not considered an ornament, they're not a tachshit, rather they're just, so to speak, a tashmish for the stockings. And therefore, it's what, like the halacha of tabas akelim that we learned, that when there's a ring of a vessel, that in the previous parak we said that they're tahar. So therefore, this garter belt is tahar, because it's like the tabas akelim, that it's not a keli in its own right, it's just, so to speak, subsidiary to a keli, and therefore it's going to be tahar. It also says, in the later Mishnah, the yoytzin ba, that she's allowed to go out with this garter belt on Shabbos, because she needs it for her stockings, and it's not considered a burden. And therefore, she's allowed to go out, because since it's used for tznius, she's not going to go ahead and take off the garter belt, because then her stockings are going to fall down. So therefore, Abaye asked to Rav Yosef, v'tishtri. So then, if this is what the case of the machat, that doesn't have a hole, it doesn't have an eye in the needle, that it's being used to collect the strands of hair and put it under her head, then it should be mutter to go out with on Shabbos. That is because this needle also is not going to be considered a burden, because it's used for a purpose to hide these hairs. It's for the tznius of the hero of a woman that's considered erev. She's also not going to go ahead and show this needle because then it's going to fall down her hair, and therefore, why can't you go out with it on Shabbos, similar to the garter belt? So therefore, therefore Abaye argues, and he says, "Altir gemarav ader narsho kamed Rav Yosef hoyil v'isho chilekes basar." The reason why this needle that doesn't have an eye serves a purpose, that it is a tachshit, is for a different reason. It's because a woman parts her hair with it. That's it's half here, half to there. Down the middle. So that's why it's considered a tachshit. But then the Gemara asks, b'Shabbos l'may chasid, but what's it fit for to use on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos you're not allowed to split your hair, you're not allowed to comb your hair, you're not allowed to do these things because hairs might become detached. So on Shabbos, how is she allowed to go out with it on Shabbos? It's not an ornament on Shabbos because you can't use it for anything. And that the Gemara says, Amarava, tashal zav yesh la reisha. There's a bar of gold that there is on the edge of this needle on one side, and the other side is the sharp end. And therefore, b'chol chilekes basar, during the weekday it's considered an ornament because she splits her hair with it, as we said before, with the sharp end. However, you said, what about Shabbos? B'Shabbos manichase keneged padachta. On Shabbos, she just puts it opposite her forehead. That is, she sticks in the pointy head into her hat. And therefore, the plate then, which has the golden side, is on the outside, on her forehead. And that's why it's considered a tachshit, because this needle is not just a needle. It also has like a plate on the edge of it. And therefore, that's the part that's going to be the ornament. And that's why it's not also min haTorah to go out with it on Shabbos. It's also min haRabbanan, because you might come to show it, but it's not going to be chayav or kamachatas, because it is fit as an ornament in some form. Now we begin the next Mishnah, which up until now we're speaking about with what a woman is allowed to go with on Shabbos and whatnot. Now the Mishnah discusses with what a man is allowed to go with on Shabbos and with whatnot. So the Mishnah begins, Lo yetza ha'ish besandl ha'masum. A man is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos with a hobnailed sandal. And that is, this was a sandal made out of wood, and they would stick in nails to attach the bottom part with the top part of the sandal. That is, the bottom part was made out of wood with the leather that's on the top part of the sandal. And there was two openings for the sandal that you could stick your foot in, either on the front part or the back part. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the reason why is this sandal usher to go out with on Shabbos. Mishnah continues, and the man cannot go out with a single sandal. However, that's only bizman she'im beragle maka. That's only if his leg does not have a wound. If it has a wound, then he can go out even with one sandal. So Rashi brings two pshatim why this is forbidden to go out with one shoe. So he brings from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that they shouldn't suspect him that it wears the other shoe, that he's carrying it under his clothing, that he's carrying. So it's like a type of marasayin. It looks like they're suspecting him that he's carrying. But he brings from his Rebbeim that maybe people are going to laugh at him. What are you doing with one shoe? And he's going to go ahead and take off the one shoe that he's wearing and he's going to carry it for Amos and Shabbos, forgetting that it's Shabbos. And therefore, these are two different explanations given why it's us to walk out with one shoe on Shabbos. However, if there's a wound on one foot, then it's mutter to walk out with one shoe. And the Gemara is going to explain which foot is the one that has the one sandal. Is it the one that has the wound or the foot that doesn't have the wound? So the Mishnah continues, V'lei b'tfilin, you're not allowed to walk out on Shabbos with tefillin, as the Gemara is going to explain in Daf Samach Aleph. V'lei b'kameya, and you can't go out with an amulet. That is things that they would write and they would carry on them for healing purposes. B'zman she'inim n'mumcha, that's only if it wasn't from those amulets that have been proven to be effective. But if it is a kameya mumcha, then it would be mutter because that's considered a tachshir, it's an ornament for the sick person. Like one of his clothing, it's considered intrinsic to the sick person. So the Mishnah continues, V'lei b'shirion, and the man cannot go out with a coat of mail. V'loy b'kazda, not with a helmet, v'loy b'magafayim, not with shin guards. The Gemara is going to explain all these three things. These are the things that people use in war. V'miyatza, but if he goes out with any of these things, in the chayav chatas, not chayav chatas, because all these things are considered articles of clothing in some form, whether during the weekday or going out to the war. So therefore, although midrabanan, we said these cases are aser, but minatayra, it's mutter, and therefore one would not be chayav chatas if he goes out with these things. So now the Gemara discusses the first case that we said. Sandal hamasuma maitam. What is the reason? What's wrong with these sandals? These hobnailed that have a lot of nails that hold in the leather to the wooden part of the shoe. Why can't you go out with that on Shabbos? So the Gemara gives three versions of the same story. Amar Shmuel shilfei hagezeirah hayu. They were the fugitives of the decree of the persecution. That is the people that escaped the persecution of the goyim. V'hayu nechbotin b'me'aran. They were hiding in the cave. The Amru, and they said as follows. Hanichnis yikonis. Whoever wants to come into the cave could come in. And that is because whoever comes into the cave, he first looks to see, make sure no one's looking. And therefore you could come in if you want to hide out with us, that the enemy shouldn't get us. However, yitzal yitzi. Whoever wants to go out cannot go out, because maybe there are enemies lurking outside, and the one who's leaving doesn't know, and they're going to see him, and they're going to understand we're all hiding, and they're going to kill us out. Therefore, no one's allowed to leave. You could come in, but you can't leave. What happened was that nepech sandela shalechem. One time, one of the sandals of one of them got reversed. And that is, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, that there's two holes where to put your foot into the sandal, and you could tie it from either side. However, you could tell which is really supposed to be the front and which is supposed to be the back. This guy, by mistake, he put it on backwards. So it seemed like, although he came in, which they allowed that because you could look and make sure there's no enemy, it looked like he left. And you could see in the ground which shape the foot is looking. So although it looked like, although he was coming in, it looked like someone had left because he was wearing the shoe backwards. So therefore the Gemara says what happened was, so they thought someone left because it looked like the shoes were going that way. Even that the enemy saw already. Another thing, now for sure they're coming to kill them. They started pushing one to the other. They killed each other more than the enemy killed of them. And that is because they're with their pushing and all the stampedes, as it always is when people are trying, someone screams fire, trying to get out, that they had these sandals that had these nails, which are like the types that the horseshoes have, which are very thick and they're very strong. And therefore, with these shoes, they killed the other people. And these were the shoes that caused the incident. So because of that, they said that we're not allowed to wear these shoes anymore because of what happened, because of the great tragedy that happened because of these shoes. A second version of this story is Rabbi Lo'ar ben Elazar, b'ma'ar ha'yish, when they were sitting in the cave, b'shama kol me'al gab b'ma'ar, a little differently, they heard a noise from on top of the cave. They thought that enemies were coming upon them. They started pushing one with the other. They killed each other more than the enemies killed. And that's the idea that they were wearing these shoes, and these shoes were what caused the different harm and the tragedy that happened. And therefore, we decreed on these shoes not to wear these shoes on Shabbos. Third version is Rami Bar Cheskel Amar, but basically Knesset Hayishu. They weren't in the cave; they were in shul. They heard a noise from behind the shul. They thought the enemy is coming to attack them. They pushed one to the other. They killed each other more than the enemies killed them. But at that moment, they said as follows. A person is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, as Gemara is going to explain in 1 second, because the story happened on Shabbos, with this hobnailed sandal because this is the incident that caused great harm to Klal Yisrael. But then the Gemara asked the obvious question. So even on the weekday, you shouldn't be able to wear these shoes, these sandals, because these are the sandals that, so to speak, remind people about the great tragedy. We don't want these shoes around. So then why only on Shabbos? The Gemara says, "Ma'isik yihave b'Shabbos haba." This incident occurred on Shabbos. And when we make a gzeira, as we find many times in Shabbos, it's me'in hama'ira, similar to Yom Tovim. It's as the story happened, and since the story happened on Shabbos, that's when we decreed it that it should be asur. But not on the weekday. On the weekday, you're allowed to wear these sandals, although that's what caused the story. It was on Shabbos, and only on Shabbos we decreed it. But then the Gemara asks, if so, b'yom tov lishtri, a yom tov should be permitted to wear these hobnailed sandals. I love it. Now, why we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Bei, I'm going to continue on to Amud Beis. It says, mishalchem kelim b'yom tov, a person allowed to send garments as a present, as a gift to someone else on Yom Tov, bein tefurin, bein she'ein tefurin, whether it's sewn or whether it's not, avo loy sandal ha'mesumah, but not this hobnailed sandal, avo loy minul she'ein tefurin b'yom tov, and not a shoe that's not sewn on Yom Tov. And the question is, obviously you see that these hobnailed sandals are not things that you're allowed to wear on Yom Tov, because there it says over there in the Mishnah that whatever is something that you could have a no'ah from on Yom Tov, that you could wear, you could use it, you're allowed to send it. And obviously if you say we can't send these sandal ha'mesumah, obviously you can't wear it on Yom Tov. Why not? The decree was only on Shabbos, because that's when the story happened, not on Yom Tov. And then the Gemara says no, because b'Shabbos my time, what was the reason why we said that this decree was for Shabbos? And that was, what was the story? Dika Kanuvi, because there's a gathering, and that is, it's a time when people don't do melacha. They all come to shul, to the Beis Medrash, as the story happened, which was in the shul. It was a time of Kanuvi, of gathering. But Yom Tov namika Kanuvi. Yom Tov, there's also a gathering. There's, therefore, it's apropos to say that Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos, because it's really the same thing as Shabbos. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, you're making comparisons. Tanya Sibirika Kanufya, a public fast is also a public gathering that everyone comes to shul, and therefore it should also apply that you shouldn't be able to wear the sandal hamasuma on the Tanya Sibir. And therefore, as the Gemara says, litzer, it should be forbidden. But the Gemara says, no, it's still different. Maisik yahave b'kanufya di isura. The story that happened was with a gathering of something that's forbidden regarding the doing of malacha. But on the Tanya Sibur, it's a gathering of heter, of permitted, that you're allowed to do malacha, if it's not really the same thing as Shabbos. Whereas Yom Tov is really the same thing as Shabbos. And the Gemara says that this idea that we're including, really, the Gezerah shouldn't be only Shabbos, but we're including Yom Tov in Shabbos, and because it's really the same thing, the Gemara says that afil Reb Chanina ben Akiva, even according to Reb Chanina ben Akiva, the Amar loy Asra el b'yardin u'besvina u'kamaisa shahayah, that he says regarding a story, that we only said that it's forbidden regarding the Jordan River, and a boat, as the story happened, and that, as it says in Masechtas Chagiga in Perek Chaim BaKodesh, there was an incident regarding someone that was carrying the water of the Mei Chattas and the Efer Chattas, which are things that are used to purify someone that has the tum of a mess. That they were passing over the Jordan River on the boat, and they found a kazai size of a corpse that was stuck in the bottom of the ship, in the hull of the ship, and therefore made everything tummy. So Rabbanan said that they made a gzeira that a person should never transport the Mei Chattas in a ship. And not only on a ship, not even on a bridge, and not under any body of water, whether the Jordan River, whether any river, you should never, they made the gezerah on all types of rivers and all type of transports. However, Chanina argued over there, and he says, no, they only made it forbidden exactly as the story was, only over the Jordan River and only with a boat, but not a bridge and not other rivers, because the gezerah that you make is exactly as the story happened, and they don't make it any different. And therefore, he said it was Dafka the Yardin and Dafka Srina as the Maaseh Shahayah. So therefore, the Gemara is, so to speak, addressing them and saying, wait, according to him, it should be exactly as it was. It was on Shabbos, not Yom Tov. And therefore, even though Yom Tov is similar, but he holds that you make it exactly as the story happened. Not just any body of water, only the Yardin. Not just any transport, only a boat. So therefore, maybe he would say it's only Shabbos, not Yom Tov. The Gemara says no. Because Hanamili Yardin, that story, Reb Chanina ben Akiva says it had to be the Yardin because the Shana Mishan Horus. The Jordan is, in a way, unique, it's distinct, different than all other rivers, whether in its width or whether in its depth. Aval Yom Tov b'Shabbos ke'adadinin, but even he would agree, Yom Tov b'Shabbos is the same thing. That's not as you learn in the Mishnah. In me Yom Tov l'Shabbos eloichem nefesh b'avad. The only difference between Yom Tov b'Shabbos is only regarding doing a malacha for eating purposes that are permitted on Yom Tov. But regarding everything else, they're the same, that even Reb Chanina ben Akiva would agree that it's really k'mais yishoy, it's exactly as the decree was, that the story happened on Shabbos. It would include Yom Tov also because it's really the same thing of a kenufia of Isra, of a Sis Malacha, and therefore it's not more than the Maaseh Shahayah, like the Yardin and the Sfina. He would agree that it would include Yom Tov also. Now we want to discuss the parameters of the actual Isra, of the sandal and the sumer, of walking out with the sandal that's nailed in, that has these nails. What exactly is the case of it being Asa? Amr Bihuda Amr Shmuel, Loishonu El Chazik. We only learned that the sandal Mesumer that has this wooden sandal that has the strap of leather on the top nailed in with nails, is only if the nails are made to strengthen the sole together, to attach it with the upper portion. That's what the nails are for. Avulanoi mutter, but if you have the sandals with nails, but the nails are there only to beautify it, to make it a beautiful like pattern or shape for the shoe, for the sandal, then it would be mutter. Because again, we only made it gzeira as the story was. And that story was, as regular sandal hamasumarim are, the nails are there to make it strong, to attach the leather upper part with the piece of wood. But if it's being used in this case as beauty, then it's mutter again. It has to be exactly as the story happened. For Kamalanoi, the Gemara asks, how many nails are considered beauty and that it's not being used to make it stronger? So b'yechon amar chamesh bezeh v'chamesh bezeh, that each sandal having five nails, that's still considered beauty. More than that, it's considered that it's really being used to keep it strong. That each sandal can have up to seven nails, that's considered just beauty, because that's not really making the shoe strong. But has more than that, then it's already being used to strengthen it, to keep it attached, then it's going to be awesome. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, Azbarlach, he says, I'm going to explain to you exactly the formation of these nails that, according to me and according to Reb Chanina, 5 and 7 respectively, what the shape of it is, that it's still considered for beauty and that it's going to be mutter, it's not going to have the isra of sandal hamasumer because not being used to strengthen it. He says, Lididi, according to me that I say there's 5 nails you're allowed to have, it's shtayim mikan, there's 2 nails from this side, meaning the outer part of the sandal, one by the top where the fingers are and one by the bottom where the heel is. B'shtayim mekan, and 2 from this side, that's to the inside part of the sandal, which is the part between the legs. V'achas b'tasiyas, and 1 by the straps. Reb Chanina, according to Reb Chanina, says that you're allowed to have 7 nails. Gimel mekan, there's 3 on the outside, the gimel mekan, 3 on the inside. V'achas b'tasiyas, and 1 by the straps. But now the Gemara asks Meisver, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he says you're only allowed to have up to 5 nails, and more than that, it's aser. The Gemara asks, but we learned sandal hanoita regarding a sandal that leans. And that is, if the sole is not even, like a lot of times what happens by people, one part of the sole is thicker, the other side is thinner. That means when he walks, it starts leaning towards the, as many people have in the inside of their sole, towards the thinner part. Therefore, you have to elevate it more, so to speak, like a tap, to make it equal to the other part. So the Braisa says, Ois le sheva, you could make 7 nails for it. Up to that amount we allow, that's not going to be considered the sandal hamasumer. Up to 7 nails, you're allowed to make it even with the thicker part. Divrei Reb Nosson, that's the opinion of Reb Nosson. Rebbe Matabir, the Rebbe says it's mutter even up to 13 nails. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Reb Chanina, that he says you're allowed to have up to 7 nails, that's not considered the sandal hamasumer yet, which is, so to speak, has all these nails, that's forbidden. Who damak Reb Nosson? He says, like Reb Nosson, that says you're allowed to have 7. El Reb Yechanan, damak Amam. Who's Reb Yechanan like? He says you can't have more than 5. And here we have both opinions saying either 7 or 13. So why does he say only 5? So the Gemara says, who damak Reb Nosson? He says, like Reb Nosson, like a different Tana. The Tanya Bnoi Omer, Hey Mutter V'Sheva Aser, 5 are permitted and 7 are Aser. So that's who Rabbi Yechanan was following, that only up to 5 nails you're allowed to have. More than that, it's already included in the Sandal HaMesumah. So the Gemara brings L'Halacha, Omalei Eifa L'Rabba Babar Chana. Eifa, who was a Chacham, he was the son of Rebbe Chava from Pambadisa, he said to Rabba Babar Chana, Atun Tamid Rabbi Yechanan, you the students of Rabbi Yechanan, Avidik Rabbi Yechanan, you have to do like Rabbi Yechanan, you can't have more than 5 nails. More than that, it's already considered this Sandal HaMesumah that has the nails. Anan, Avid Krib Chanina, we could do like Chanina, who is our Rebbe, that you could have even up to 7 nails. So on the same topic, the Gemara brings that Boyimne Ravuna Ravashi. Ravuna asked from Ravashi, Chomesh Maha, what's the halacha if you have 5 nails? Amalei, Afal Zayim Mutter, even up to 7 is Mutter, as we saw by Reb Chanina. Tesmai says, what's with 9 nails? No, Amalei, Afal Chesas, even 8 is Aser, 7 and not more. Similarly, the Gemara brings Boyimne Ahurats on the Mirabami. There was a shoemaker that asked from Mirabami, Tafu Mibifnim Mahu. Let's say it was sewn from the inside. That is, he put a shoe of leather from the inside of the sandal, and then he sewed it from the inside. So what's the halacha? Amalei mutter. So he said it's mutter to put nails on the outside now, even because once you sewed it in the inside, this leather, so you could also nail it on the outside. However, v'lo yadana my time. He says, this is what I heard from Rabbi Yechanan. He says, I don't know the reason why it's mutter. Why you can't nail things on the outside. That's a sandal hamasumer. So Amalei Ravashi said to him, you don't really know the reason why this case, when you sewed in the leather on the inside, then now you can nail on the outside? It's totally different here. Even the tafra mibifnim, havali minol, since it's sewn from the inside, that's a shoe. A shoe is sewn the leather on the inside. Besandal gazabirban. The decree was only made on a sandal. Beminola gazabirban. A shoe they never made a decree. So therefore, a shoe is allowed to have the nails on the outside. It's only a sandal, which is only nailed on the outside, where there it has a certain amount of nails. It's usher. Here, once and so on. On the inside, it's already a shoe. A shoe can have as many nails as it wants on the outside, because the gzeir was only made, as we said before, as the gzeir was done on the sandal, not on a shoe. Similarly, the Gemara brings, also kimin kalbas, mahu. If the nails were made like tongs, what's the halacha? And that is, if he made a nail, which usually stick in one edge of the nail into the shoe, now he made it into like a semicircle. Now both edges are sharp, and he stuck it in both edges into the wood. What is the halacha? Amalei mutter, she said it's mutter. As we said before, since it's different than other nails, again, the decree was only me'in hama'ori as it happened. And generally people, as the story probably was in that story, that they only put in the nail straight in one end, not both ends. And therefore, if you made it like a tongue, like a semicircle, and you stuck it both in, that's going to be mutter and it's not a problem. It menami, similarly we learned. If you made the nail into tongs, almost like a staple, you took both ends and you stick it in, that's mutter. Another had to similar to this idea when things are different than actually as the story was and as the gzeir was, it's going to be mutter. The Gemara brings number of sheshes. Chifahu kulei b'mesmaris. If you covered the whole entire sandal with nails on the bottom of the sandal, and the reason why you would do this is kadesh leite karko echlose, that the ground should not consume it, because then the nail, so to speak, keeps it away from the ground that it shouldn't deteriorate. Then it's mutter. Then it's mutter because it's totally different as the story happened. No one wears shoes totally with nails on the bottom. Tanikav Asidra of Sheshes, we learned the Brisa that says like Rav Sheshes, which is the last halacha the Brisa brings. The Brisa says as follows. Lo yitza ha'ish besandal ha'musum. A man is not allowed to go with, on Shabbos with this hobnailed sandal. He can't even walk from one house to another with this sandal. I feel mitl mit, even from one bed to another, he's never allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Aval metalton oisay lechasa b'ezek keli, but you're allowed to carry it to cover a keli, to cover a vessel with it. And that is because it has the halacha of a keli; it is a vessel, and therefore it's not mukta. Therefore, you can use it to cover a vessel. But lismach bekaramito, you could even use it to support the legs of a bed. You just can't wear it. Rabbi Shimon says that no, you're not allowed to even carry it to use it for something because you might come to wear it as shoes. Therefore, we said it's totally forbidden and it's totally muktzah. You can't even carry it. Nashiruv masmeresa. If most of the nails in the shoe fell out, but b'nishtayi b'dalarehem, and there were four or five left over, then it's mutter. And the reason is again because since it changed from what it originally was, so therefore it's not like how the incident happened, and therefore it's not going to be us. The Rebbe Mata Achev, Rebbe says mutter up until seven nails. If the most of them fell out, and there's around seven left, it's still mutter, which the Gemara is going to ask, what is it? If most of it fell out, then it sounds like even more, so then it doesn't have to be four or five or seven. The Gemara is going to answer this steer. Chifo ba'or melmata, if you covered the sandal with leather on the bottom, but kovala mesmeres melmala, and instead you put the nails on the top, mutter, then it's mutter again because it's different than how it was in the incident. Also, if let's say you made the top, if you made the nails different than a regular nail, that is, come in kalbis, like tongs, as we said before, that you take both edges and you stick it in, or come in tas, or you made it wide, like a bar, or you came in yesed, or you made it narrow and sharp, like a stake, or you covered the whole entire sandal with nails, that the ground should not consume it, which this was the halacha of Rav Sheshes, why we brought down this brisa. Mutter, then, as Rav Sheshes said, again, these are because they're different than regular, so therefore it's not included in the sandal ha-mesumah, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Now, once we brought down the brisa, the Gemara asks, Hagufa Kasha, seems to be an internally contradiction in the brisa. Amrit Nosher Rav Masmarisav, as we mentioned before, you said that if most of the nails fell out, then Afagav din Nishtari Butu, then even if many nails are still there, like 15, 20, 30, as long as there was like a 500, and now there's only 30, so if most of them fell out, even if there's still a lot left, as long as it's the minority of what it originally was, then it's going to be mutter. V'hadutani, and then you say, arboi chomish in tfeiloi, that's four or five, or according to Rebbe, seven, and not more than that. But why? It could even have 30, 40, as long as it's the minority of what it originally was. So I'm Rav Sheish Leikasha. It's two different cases. Khan, over here, when we said that even if it would be a lot more, like let's say 30, 40, that it's going to be mutter, is shenigmemu. Is where they wore down. That is from the top, and you could tell in the wood of the sandal where those nails are. That there were even more. So therefore, you could tell that it's not exactly as it was. Therefore, it's going to be mutter. Kan, over here we said it has to have only four or five or seven, as we said, that's the old machlik, is about how many initially it could have that would be considered for beauty and not for strengthening it, which would be like the way the story was. Ishaneker, it was totally extracted. And that is, you can't tell even anymore where they originally were. So therefore, that's only four or five, but not more. But again, because then it looks exactly like a regular sandal, hamasumar. And therefore, it's only in the case of shenigmamu, where you could tell where they wore down, that the holes are there, and you could tell that it's not as it was. That's different, so that's going to be mutter, even if it has more than four or five or seven. And that's just talking about two different cases. If it's wore down, if it was totally extracted. So then the Braisa said, arboy chamesh mutter. If there's four or five that are left over, it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara asks, very obvious, hashta chamishari, if five are mutter, so arbi miboya, do I have to even say that four is going to be mutter? Why do I say four or five? So Rabbi Chizda says it's really two different cases. Arba misandal kadam, when it's a small sandal, then it's permissible up to four. B'chamish misandal gadol, and when we said up to five, it's talking about a large sandal, but more than that, whether small or big, it cannot have. So the four or five is respectively for a small and for a large sandal. So the Braisa said, v'rebi matar ad sheva, the Rebbe says it's permitted up till seven. But more than that, it's going to be the issur of sandal ha-mesumah. But then the Gemara asks, what time we learned the Braisa that we mentioned before regarding the uneven sandal, where the sole one edge is higher than the other. Rebbe Matir at Shleish Eser. Rebbe says you're allowed to put up to 13 nails. So why over here does he say you can have only 7? He says up to 13 is not going to be sandal ha-mesumah. And that the Gemara says, Noitishani. The case of the leaning sole is different. And that is because you need all the nails to make it equal, that it should be a smooth sole. And neither, not even one of those nails is there to strengthen the attachment of the upper leather strap with the wooden bottom. Rather, it's being used for a totally different purpose. And therefore, even up to 13 will not be included in the sandal ha-mesumah, because it's being used, again, it's not to strengthen it. And whereas over here, we said up to 7, it's talking about that it's not the uneven sole. And therefore, only up to 7, but more than that, will be considered like the sandal ha-mesumah, that's strengthening the attachment of the upper leather strap with the bottom piece of the wood. And that the Gemara says, once you said this teretz, hash the asl hachi. Now that you said there's a difference between when it's to make it even the soul and when it's not to make it even for the soul. So the Rabbi Yochanan namli kasha. Now we don't have the difficulty that we had according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Gemara had asked previously, that everybody says you could have more than 5 nails. And you said, who's Rabbi Yochanan saying like? So we had to find some Tana, Rabbi Neroi, that he's like to say that it's only up to 5 nails. You could answer no, that really he holds a grib nasin. That he says you could have 7, but when it's naita, when it's leaning, is different. That Rib Nassin said that you could have up till 7 because it's leaning, and therefore you need all the nails, and it's not there for strengthening, it's to even out the soul. But if it's not leaning, like the case Rabbi Yechon is using, then only 5 and not more, and therefore it's not a challenge. We don't have to find another time we can say it's leaving like Rib Nassin, because naita is shani, like we said, because it's being used for a different purpose and not lachazik, and therefore that's why 7 or 13 you could be using for the nails, and it's not considered sandal mesumah. But if it's a regular even sole, then they would agree that you can't have more than 5 nails. As the Gemara says, Noitashani, as we said, because leaning is different, that everybody agrees that you can have more than 5. So the Gemara says, Lahalocha, Amr of Masna, Vamrila, and some say, Amr of Achtavai, Bar Masna, Amr of Masna, Ein Halocha, Krebelazar, Rib Shimon. We mentioned the Braisa, the Krebelazar, Rib Shimon says that it's even forbidden to carry this sandal hamasumah, to use it to cover a keli or something, that the halacha is not like him, and that you could move it on Shabbos. So the Gemara is Peshitta, it's obvious the halacha is not like him. We know, Yochid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim, when there's an individual that argues on the Rabim, the halacha is like the Rabim, he's an individual that argues on the Rabim, so of course. Now the Gemara says, because ma'o detaim, mistabrit time of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, b'ho, that I would have thought that it makes sense, the reasoning of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon in this case, and that is, he said, you're not allowed to even move it because then you might come to wear those shoes. And that's why I have to say, halacha does not follow him, although the reasoning of his makes sense, still the halacha in this case is like the Rabbim, that it's not mukta. So now the Gemara brings, regarding this heter that we said, that there's a certain amount of nails that are allowed in the shoe, that it's not considered the sandal ha-mesumah. So regarding to this, Amr B'chir B'chir said, Ilav de karli bavloi ishori isura. Were it not for the fact that they would call me the Babylonian that permits things that are prohibited, Sharina Beituva, I would allow even much more nails than everyone up until now that was saying, with 5, 7, 13, whatever it is, I would let much more nails. And it wouldn't be considered sandal hamasumah, because you really need a lot of nails for it to be considered this sandal hamasumah. And the Gemara says, Kama, how many nails would he have let? You can't let everything, because that's obviously the case of the sandal hamasumah. So in Pumbedisa they said that he permitted Esen Ba'ar but 24 nails. Besura Amrin, in Surah they said, Esen Ba'ar 22 nails. So Amr of Nachma Yitzchak v'Simanecha, and the mnemonic to remember this, that in Pumbedis was 24 and in Surah was only 22, they said, Ad Osim in Pumbedis l'Surah. From when Reb Chiya came from Pumbedis to Surah, that is because Reb Chiya made Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And he went from Pumbedis to Surah up until where he got to Eretz Yisrael, Chosatarti, that he lost two of his nails on the road. In other words, it's so to speak a mnemonic saying that, like, when he was making his journey with his shoes and his nails in the shoe, you lose some of the nails, you lose your taps as you're walking. So from Pumbedisa, he had 24. When he finally got to Surah, he only had 22. He lost two of his nails, so to speak, to say that the journey he lost two, but a reference to saying that he lost two, that they said there was only permitted 22 nails, but more than that would be considered Sandal Masumah. And way back in Pumbedisa, they said even 24 nails would be mutter, and only more than that would be considered Sandal Masumah would be Asar on Shabbos.